Welcome back, everybody, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. Topic for today's episode is divorce is an issue of compromise. When I get calls in the office, either to mediate or to file for divorce, the first thing I say before we go into any of the discussion or questions about assets and debts, co-parenting, support, any of that, the first thing I say to everybody is, divorce is an issue of compromise. There's the law, and you have to know the law. You need to see an attorney. You need to understand what laws preside over your particular aspects of settlement. And then research. Go on Google. I mean, Google is your law library. You'll find so much information out, but always put the name of your state in because divorce laws are different in different states. But, you know, just in general, when we're talking about compromise, life, just life, is an ongoing compromise when you're in relationship with people. But in divorce, even though the relationship will end, the biggest compromises of all are the only way to end the relationship peacefully. So the biggest compromises you're ever going to face in your life are going to come in divorce. And in order to actually get the divorce to end, to get that phase of your life over, you may have to compromise somewhere, some way, on some aspects of the divorce. So just know it, get ready for it, and we're going to go through those areas where compromises are going to exist. So here are the compromise areas. The very first compromise area is that you will divorce. Typically, one person is ready to divorce before the other person is ready to divorce. So you'll have a few different situations. You'll have a situation where both people know the relationship isn't working. You've either gone to counseling or you just see that you've grown apart. You have to talk about it, and then you have to decide when you're going to start that process. You may be married to somebody, though, that even though the relationship is a lot of arguing, maybe you've gone to therapy, it hasn't worked, maybe you needed to go to therapy and one person wouldn't, and then one person says, look, I'm ready to move on, and the other person isn't. That is an issue of compromise. And so what do you do in that situation? You give that person a little time. So if you're the spouse that wants to divorce, and you say to your other spouse, listen, you know, we have to move forward. And your spouse isn't ready, give them a time frame. Give them a time frame in which to wrap their head around it, get their emotions in order, maybe get some therapy to help them through the realization that the marriage is coming to an end. And so give a little bit of time. But then there's a point where you're either going to do it together or you're going to have to be the one that files first. Once you file, that reality will set in. But time, you have to offer a specific amount of time. That will be your compromise so that you can move forward with your life. Then the second compromise area is when you file. So you give an amount of time. And then you just say, look, I've done some research, and that's what you can do in the meantime if you're the one ready to file. Do your research so that you can present information to your spouse, but give them a time frame in which you are going to file. So when you file is a compromise. So what has to happen with the when? Well, maybe one of you has to reorganize your finances immediately, because once the filing starts, money is affected. The community property relationship will end with the date of separation. That's in California. It works slightly differently in each state, but there's just a basic general rule that when you submit your petition, you do have to put a date of separation, a date when you felt that you were clear about the marriage coming to an end. So when you file is an issue of compromise. You'll give so much time to your spouse, or you'll plan together when you will file. And you'll both start organizing those aspects of your life that need to be in place so that once you file, you can start moving forward on when are we going to get two residences, because that's going to happen. The next thing, the next aspect under compromise is how you'll file. So you have a range of choices in terms of how you'll file, and you'll both have to compromise. Are you both going to get lawyers because you have so many complicated assets that you feel each hiring lawyers will be good? That may be. Or can you talk things out so that you can hire a document preparation company? And a mediator to help you organize. Are you going to use online filing because you were married a very short period of time, you have no children, and virtually you have nothing but bank accounts and cars? Online is tough, though. I have to tell you, I haven't seen many online companies that provide clarity on each state and how the divorce works. They use forms that I've never seen used. When people come to me or attorneys. So filing with online companies is tricky, but that is an option. That is an option. Are you going to use two separate legal document preparation companies because you at least need that little bit of space? Or are you both going to come to a company like mine, Divorce Resource Incorporated, where I work with both spouses in a neutral position? So how you file is a compromise. Who you will use to file? Well, that's very important to interview people. So I talk to both spouses. I prefer talking to both spouses if you want to use a legal document preparation company. But who you use, even though you may use an online filing system or somebody like me, you both have to feel comfortable. And even if you interview attorneys, maybe you want to only have a consulting attorney in the background. Talk to a few attorneys, unless the very first attorney just feels like the right fit. And if that person feels like the right fit, don't take anybody else's time up. Use that attorney. Next, how long will it take to file and finish? So this is huge. A lot of people, when they come to me, say, we just want to get it done. But that's not how it works out. Once you get into the filing, all the emotions of the marriage come up. All the emotions connected to divorcing come up. And you think you can finish quickly, and you can't. So under this little category of how long it will take to file and finish, you have things that will hold up the works. You have serving people. Well, you can serve by mail or you can serve by process server. Serving by mail, the person may not be willing to sign the form that you have to send to the court to show that they've been served. Doing disclosure forms. In every state, you have some form of disclosure forms that lists assets and debts, that becomes the financial statement, and people may not want to do that. There's a specified amount of time given in California, 60 days, in which the disclosures are to be submitted, but most people go over this. It's a smaller percentage of people that get their disclosures done quickly. It really is. Because just doing that paperwork calls up emotion. And that's where people may fall down. So if one person's ready to do their disclosures and does them in the specified amount of time, and the other person doesn't, the person who does their disclosures has to compromise and give the other person a specific amount of time, if they're going to go over the deadline, in which to get their disclosures in. And that compromise is important because people go through the emotional divorce at different amounts of time, and know that that person might be going through their emotions and it's taking them longer than you. So that's where a compromise point is going to exist. And then dealing with settlement terms, custody, co-parenting, child support, spousal support, how to divide the house or any of the other real estate you may own, dealing with investments, stock options, and debt. All of these parts of the settlement have to be dealt with. And everything carries with it a lot of emotion, a lot of preparation, a lot of thought. What you think may be right in your settlement, you may need to sit on and just process and then come back to the table and talk about it. There's a lot of give and take when you're working out the settlement terms. And that's where I think a lot of compromise needs to take place. Because I really think that once you sign the settlement agreement with all the settlement terms, you really need to be settled with your decisions. A, once you give those settlement terms to whomever is writing up your agreement, just opening up the first draft of the settlement, it'll generally come through an email. Just that is a huge issue. And I try and remember that every single thing that we do in a divorce is important and emotional. And just opening that settlement agreement and reading through all of those pages, which are anywhere from 16 to 30 pages, depending on what you have to deal with, that causes emotion. And so people have to catch their breath and deal with it. But that's where you have to compromise in terms of time. And you can only let so much time go by. I mean, people let 2 and 3 years go by. Seriously. And then when it's time to come back, what's the thing that makes it come back? Sometimes you get notices from the court that says, come on, we've got to get moving. That's the trigger point. Maybe it's neither of you pushing each other. And both of you are just happy to languish in, we're not ready yet. But the court's going to step in, and that will be your trigger point for moving forward. But there's a lot of compromise in that back and forth. And then finalizing the settlement agreement, just coming in to sign. I've had settlement agreements finalized, and then I don't hear from people to come and sign them because that takes another effort. So this is just a huge ongoing compromise from start to finish. Now, there's another aspect, and it's called prioritizing what you need and want. So in order to get through the settlement, in order to know where to compromise, you have to prioritize what's important to you, what you want, and what you need. So here are some areas where compromise is going to take place. A, do not make anything, any asset, any tangible object, an issue of ego. So here's what happens. You'll have things in the house that people will have to decide who gets what. And people will argue about toaster ovens and beds and TVs and computers beyond belief. And that's what hangs up settlement agreements. Just these little tangible objects that you can go out and buy. That will be a point of discussion. Interesting, isn't it? But it happens. Number two, don't try to punish your spouse for the deficiencies in the marriage while you're negotiating the assets to be divided. And that's going to happen. So you either have ego wrapped up into, I just want to be right, when you're trying to divide your assets, or I know it's going to make him or her crazy. I know he or she wants that painting, wants that vase, wants that television. I'm not going to let them have it. That goes on, and it's such a waste of time. It doesn't behoove anybody. Nobody wins, not even the person who wants to punish. Nobody wins because the depths of punishment are unknown. What does it look like to punish your spouse with not giving in to something? You got to give in. It makes you look ridiculous when you don't give in to everybody watching you, except your attorneys. If you're hooked up with an attorney that ka-ching, ka-ching every second you take to do an ego move or a punishment move, your lawyer makes money. Sure, go ahead, take as long as you want. And then all of a sudden, you're left holding the empty bag. You have no money left. And don't you wish you would have gone out and bought yourself your own microwave instead of wasting money arguing about it? Oh, this next one is really important. Don't compare what you're getting in the settlement with what someone else has gotten, because your settlement will be a reflection of your marriage and their settlement will be a reflection of their marriage. And then you put all of this with what you each make for a living counts, what your personality dynamics were in the house counts throughout the marriage, and that creates the power dynamic from which you're negotiating. So I know we talk to people. I know when people have kids, they talk about how did the custody go? How did the child support go? But, you know, people aren't divulging every aspect of what went into making those decisions for custody, support, not only child support, but spousal support. You know, how they decided on who gets what with the house. You know, people don't know to share with you every single aspect of what went into their settlement agreements. Everybody just looks at what the bottom line was and starts comparing, and you can't. I know that we need comfort and support from our family and friends, but don't start comparing your settlement agreement with theirs, because I guarantee you there are enough missing pieces in what your friends are telling you about their settlement, how they arrived at their bottom line, that makes the comparison really inappropriate and not equal. So please don't do that. In terms of your assets, there are going to be things that are important to you and things that aren't. You may not want to take your spouse's pension. Don't let anybody influence you. If you don't want to take your spouse's pension and you feel it's important for them to keep it, then it is. Or if the pension is so important to your spouse, like policemen and firemen, these are the two huge categories of people where pensions are so important because they put their lives on the line every day. And that's what they're heading towards, are those pensions that gratify them at the end of their working life. So compromise by asking for something more of another asset. You're allowed to do that. You don't have to equally divide each asset, and nor do you have to take half of each asset. So let me give you a little quick example of somebody where if the wife could have just given up her small sliver of her husband's pension. It wasn't very much. Small sliver. She couldn't get it until after he retired, and they were both very young, in their 30s. And so retirement wasn't going to come for 30 plus years. And he said, look, I'll give you more of something else. I'll give you all of these two assets if you just don't touch this pension, which is going to be a sliver of money when you actually get it. And she wanted to punish him. She still wanted to punish him for the divorce, for asking for the divorce, even though she knew the marriage wasn't good. She was going to punish him for asking for the divorce. And she said, no, I want that. And there was a glitch in the agreement. And it caused everybody problems all around that pension. That was bad energy that went into the decision to take the pension. And that bad energy materialized at the end with how the agreement was written. Everybody missed a really important aspect of how it was written. Now, I want to tell you that everybody worked it out. And the intention of splitting the pension went through, but it wasn't good. And now all of that bad energy came back to haunt them in the co-parenting schedule. And I'm telling you, it's so not worth it. When your spouse says to you, look, I'm willing to give you something more somewhere else, just please don't touch this. Let it be. Compromise there, because it's going to benefit you in the end. It really is. And when I work out assets, the division of assets in my mediations, I say, look, here's all the community property. Do you all agree? Yes, we agree. We saw an attorney. Okay, let's look at what half of every single thing is. Now, there are financial consequences in dividing some assets. So can we simply move the pieces of the puzzle around so that maybe some assets aren't divided and you can each keep the totality of some of your assets just so they end up the bottom line being the same. You each get the same amount of money or value, but we just move the pieces around unequally to come to the same bottom line. So when you're looking for somebody to work with you, make sure you get somebody who's creative and knows how to do that. And that will allow you to compromise. And then there are debts. Okay. So when people get divorced, quite often there's financial malfeasance in the marriage. Either one person can't keep a job and keep money coming in, or one person goes into debt, can't handle money well, because our relationships to money are the single greatest reason why people get divorced. It is absolutely not infidelity. It's the way we handle money, and we need money to live. So debt becomes a really important aspect of the settlement, and that's where a ton of compromise needs to happen. So if you're the spouse that creates debt, you might want to take on more of the debt. You might. If you live in a state where it's an equal division of debt, regardless of how the debt accumulated, well, that's a really, really tough road to hoe, especially if you're the spouse who's created an extreme amount of debt to support the family. Now, if there's debt because there's infidelity, talk to an attorney. That debt is handled differently than debt created for the health and welfare of the marriage. But debt is really interesting, because debt is a reflection of how you lived your lives. And maybe you both lived your lives unrealistically. Maybe you both really knew what was going on and you were using credit cards to live, going on vacations when you shouldn't have. So those are huge compromise points. But you are playing out the decisions of the marriage while you're working on the settlement. And so compromise is super important here. Next is co-parenting. This is tough, and this is where huge compromise needs to happen. So when you have really small children, infants to maybe 3 years old, I guarantee you 90% of the time, the wife is going to want most of the time with the children. So, husbands, here's where your compromise points are. Just to get the divorce done and the settlement written, you may want to compromise on giving more time to your wife, especially if there's breastfeeding going on. But in the settlement agreement, creating the timeline for a step-up plan. So look at the amount of time that your wife is comfortable with in terms of having a little more time with the children, or not having overnights, not giving away overnights, especially if there's breastfeeding. But then look at, okay, when are you going to be comfortable, and compromise there. I have seen so many nurturing fathers who have literally cried or become upset when they had to give up some time to their wives because breastfeeding is going on, or the parenting philosophies don't match. attachment theories don't match. And you have to really read about the attachment theory to co-parenting. This comes up more often than one may think. The courts will look at things differently than therapists look at things. The courts go according to the law. Best interest of the child, to them, generally means equal time with both parents. That's where the thinking of the courts has gotten to, at least in California, and I know in some other states. But you have to co-parent. You have to create an environment that is respectful and comfortable for both parents so that you can work together harmoniously for the benefit of the children. And even though you may have toddlers, they feel the bad energy. And the most important thing when you have children is to give your children the most positive experience in your co-parenting possible so that they will be healthy, happy, well-balanced children. And if it means you have to modify and do step-up plans with a co-parenting schedule, make sure it works for you, dads. If you're the ones that have to modify, make sure it works for you. Express what you are willing to do to change, to create the household that your wife, soon to be ex-wife, is happy with. You know, deal with cooking skills if your cooking isn't good. Create the environment where your child will have maybe a mirrored bedroom from the one they used to have, so they have a familiar environment in both homes. But this co-parenting schedule is going to take a lot of compromise. And you're going to want to look at what each parent specializes in and maybe make decisions on the co-parenting schedule that way. You know, like, who does homework better? You may want to organize so that the parent who does homework better can keep that going so that overnights can still happen with a parent who doesn't do homework very well. Listen, my parents didn't get divorced, but my mother could not do homework with us. It was all about dad. So I often thought while I'm doing the divorce gig, you know, what if my parents got divorced when we were younger? What would that look like? My mother certainly couldn't help us. Dad had to. Would that mean that dad had to come over every night and do homework and then go home? Or pick us up and then do homework on the nights my mother had us and then deliver us back? I mean, that would have been very complicated for my parents. So you have to be sensitive to the kids getting their homework done. And maybe there's sports or artistic endeavors or play dates. You know, all of these aspects of co-parenting have to be looked at with which parent has to learn how to do them, so that the other parent feels comfortable giving the children away to overnights with the other parent. But that's where you have to compromise when you're looking at the co-parenting schedule. And child support. There's child support that pays for food, shelter, and clothing. And then there's all the miscellaneous expenses, which are far more than food, shelter, and clothing. And not every parent can equally pay for the miscellaneous expenses. You have to compromise there. So if you're looking at miscellaneous expenses like computers, summer camp, cars, cell phones, and one parent can't equally pay for these, then that parent has to look for lower cost computers, cell phones, summer camps that they can pay half of, or the parent that can't afford to pay more, you have to. This is where your compromise points will be. But listen, if you're in a situation where you're dealing with somebody who will always be in financial trouble, you just have to face the music and stop arguing and just pay these expenses. I'm not trying to hurt the parent who's financially sound and that makes better financial decisions. I'm just talking about reality. And you can't get around reality. You just can't. So stop fighting about it. Accept the obvious. You're just going to have to kick in more money and live your life. It's not fair. There's nothing fair about this. It's just, how are you going to get through this aspect of child support without killing yourself and having your kids upset all the time? You just have to do the best. And then there's spousal support. Is there going to be spousal support at all? Is this going to be the hugest bone of contention in the whole divorce? And what is the length of time for spousal support? Okay, so is there going to be spousal support at all? Well, the worst part of this, and I think every family law professional agrees, when it's the woman who out-earns the man. Spousal support is not gender specific, it's income specific. And I have only met one woman who grappled with the reality that, okay, I make more money. If he asks me for spousal support, I know I have to pay it. Now, how can I make this a compromise? The amount of money will be a compromise and the length of time will be a compromise. That's where your compromise is going to be. Or is there another asset that you can give instead of spousal support? That can be your compromise. Do you want to give more in the equity of the house? Do you want to give more in another financial asset? Because the idea of paying spousal support may be so odious to you that you just can't handle it. So look at what spousal support will be. Look at the length of time it will be paid, and then see if there's another asset that you can give to that spouse just to satisfy you not wanting to do it, but to satisfy them that they are legally able to ask for it, because you're never going to get around the law. It is what it is. And then there are the pensions. In exchange for the equity in the house, you may want to give all of your pension away. I mean, in order to keep the pension, sorry about that, you may want to give more or all of the equity in the house away. You just may want to do that. Whatever it takes. But pensions are going to be an area of compromise too. And stock options. Stock options, the trickiest of all, because they're different. Not every stock option lives and breathes in the same way. And so you're going to have to negotiate on that. So look at the terms of the stock options, see when they vest, and look at what it will cost your spouse. The spouse who's receiving part of the stock options, look at what it's going to cost you to receive them and see if it's worth it. See if it's worth taking those stock options, because they're not going to invest unless the person keeps working. And they may have to keep working until well after the divorce is final. See how that works with the law in your state, and then see how you can get around it in compromising on another asset. Lastly, what are you willing to give up? You really have to think of what's important to you and what are you willing to give up. Are you willing to give up the house? And why? Was the house in the family well before you got there? How important is the house to your spouse? Did you contribute to the house at all? I know what the law says in most states, you know, there will be the law on how you, the spouse who came into the house and maybe didn't contribute to the house, what you can be awarded. But really just look at the relevance of the house. And can you afford to not take equity in the house? You have to look at that too. So what are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up the house for the pension for the house? Are you willing to take less money from the house in order to keep your entire pension? There's that. You may not want to give up your pension. So are you willing to give up some money in the house? Spousal support. So it's interesting with spousal support. Once you both agree that spousal support might be on the table, There are two things. You either get spousal support in a monthly payment, or you can use a lump sum. Now, a lot of times a lump sum is far better than monthly payments because you can do more with a lump sum. With a lump sum, you can pay off bills immediately and get yourself in a positive financial statement. With a lump sum, you may be able to buy an insurance policy. You may be able to buy a house on your own. So lump sums are valuable. Now, with a lump sum, the compromise point is you look at what the totality of spousal support may be, but when people negotiate lump sums, they don't negotiate the exact amount of spousal support. People do negotiate less because with a lump sum, you can do more. You can get ahead. And not everybody can provide a lump sum. You may have to take out a loan for a lump sum. You may have to refinance the house for a lump sum. But a lump sum allows you to get further down the road in terms of acquiring a house, paying off debt, and in return, people negotiate a little bit less in spousal support. So look at that. Less time with your children initially with a step-up plan to equalize. Okay, so you might be willing to give up overnights now in order to get equal time share in a year or 6 months. So it may be necessary to give up overnights right now. Co-parenting with a substance abuse co-parent. All right, so if you are the substance abuser, you have to be willing to give up time with your children and get yourself straight. Because if you're the substance abuse parent, you're not going to get the children anyway. And if for some reason your spouse allows you to have children and you're a substance abuser and something happens to those kids could conceivably be taken away from both of you. So You have to be willing to give up time with your children, get yourself straight, and then negotiate more time with your children. Now, in terms of co-parenting, what if you're co-parenting with somebody who's a schedule changer, somebody who is a time abusive person? This is the biggest compromise. Because it's so hard to deal with somebody who doesn't deal with time well. You either have to understand how to draw lines in the sand, or you have to be able to just suck it up and be flexible. But when you're dealing with somebody who abuses time, it hurts the kids and it hurts the other parent. And if compromise and being flexible on just knowing that time is going to be the game changer, figure out how to set it up so that you have plan B ahead of time and just can move into plan B, or you give ultimatums and you stick with it, or you just say, I love my kids. If I'm going to have them all the time, fine. Maybe you have a babysitter on the side so that you can continue to keep your activities together. If your ex-spouse changes time, doesn't adhere to time, you know, you still have to keep your life ongoing, but give up the argument. Give up the argument because it's going to make you sick and you can't change people. And that just may be your reality, that's your ongoing compromise, and you give up the argument. Can't give up the argument on substance abuse. You have to hold firm on that. But you absolutely have to be flexible when you have a schedule changer. It's just not going to work. Now, lastly, assuming all debt in exchange for finishing the divorce. Okay, for those of you who have a ton of debt, see where it was created, and maybe you have to assume all of the debt in order not to pay child support. There can be your compromise. Spousal support. Spousal support is a huge bone of contention in so many marriages. And so that's why I brought it up a few times in this discussion. But if you don't want to pay spousal support and you have a lot of debt, assume the debt. The debt may not be totally equal to spousal support, but it may be appealing to the other spouse not to have to pay, or lower the spousal support if you're going to assume the debt. But just to get the divorce finished, that's where you're going to have to make some compromises with debt. Oh, here's something else that comes up when we're talking about debt, especially in a family that has a lot of debt, the income taxes. Who's going to claim the children? How are you going to, if you have to file jointly one more year, who's going to have to pay the accountant fees? And if you owe money, who's going to have to pay? Will a compromise be, okay, honey, I'll just pay all of what we owe? That could be a compromise point. Another compromise point is who's going to claim head of household and who's going to claim, and with that, who's going to claim the children? Is one person going to always do that? Or are you going to alternate years claiming head of household and using the kids as deductions, exemptions? So be very, very sensitive to all the compromise points in the settlement. You need to get through this as gracefully and peacefully as possible. So you sit down and make a list of all the compromise points that you're willing to give in on, and make a list where you're not willing to give in on and why. You know, support that not willing to give in with why, with logic. And please don't use the word fair and it's only right. If you can use logic points that create, that define need, I need this, and this is why I need this, your other spouse will listen more than it's only fair. Yes, divorce laws may not seem fair, but they're always your go-to point, so that can be the part that finally ends the discussion. But before you get there, look at supporting what you're requesting with what you need, because people understand need more than they understand fair. Okay, so that's it. That concludes the topic, Divorce is an Issue of Compromise. I want to thank you, as always, for joining me on Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. You can always reach me at my email address, judy@constructiveuncoupling.com. Please subscribe to this podcast so you always get the next episode, and share it with your friends. The topics we discuss are so important for an amicable, peaceful divorce. I never want anybody not to know. Thank you so much, and I look forward to our next episode.